In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In her wisdom, Holy Mother Church gives us these final weeks of this year of grace and favor, as she has done year after year, as an opportunity for us to contemplate the glories of heaven. Heaven is not given to us as a panacea to gloss over the difficulties of the world in which we live, but to remind us of our true destiny and the reason for our existence. We are created for God to be in relationship with God in this life and in the life to come. It truly is that simple. And if we can keep that uppermost in our minds, it will properly direct everything about who we are and what it is that we hope to do. Not only the things that we accomplish in our lives, but the disposition of our hearts and our souls in relationship first to God and then one another. The contemplation of heaven begins here on earth. And if one anticipates taking his or her place in glory, then one must live in this life in a particular manner. And our Saint Paul expresses that in his exhortation to the Thessalonians and gives particular witness to the power of the transformative grace of God in our lives and how that impacts the life of the world. You've heard me speak to you often about us changing ourselves so that then we can be agents of change for the world, and Paul testifies to that. He says to believers in Macedonia and in Achaia, but indeed beyond that place. And so it must be for us as well, allowing God to transform us through grace and prayer, through acts of service, small and large, seeking to live a life of virtue, labor that is rooted in faith and enduring hope in our Lord, these things, again, about which St. Paul speaks. And then realizing in doing them in unassuming ways, they go a long way to changing and transforming the world. Because the simple fact is this, brothers and sisters, if the things that we are doing here do not only change our lives, but have no impact on the world in which we live, then really, why do we bother? Why would God ask us to endure what it is that we're being asked to endure? Why would God allow us to contemplate a glory that really wouldn't matter at all if how we live in this life did not matter at all? Those aren't rhetorical questions, because the answer is very simple. God does indeed intend us to do something, and his grace is real and transformative. We might feel, given the nature of the world today, the state of the church today, that somehow God is absent in his church. God has abandoned the world, and we are left to our own devices. But nothing could be further from the truth. We also know this historically, that the church has spent more time in suffering than she has in glory, more time in conflict with the world than she has at peace with the world. Not because this is what she has wanted, but because this is who she is. And when we preach and do so boldly the truths of Christ and Holy Mother Church, we are going to find ourselves in conflict. But we must preach and proclaim them nonetheless. Precisely because it is in this way, through parables that we get from God himself, through our own lives of virtue, that we become agents of change and manifestations of God's grace for the world. Of course, we know this has always been needed in every age, from the moment of creation and to this very moment now. But the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has made it very clear that this now is what God intends for all of his people, believers and non-believers alike. Men need Christ to know fully who they are. And God asks us to cooperate in making Christ present to the world. But it always begins very clearly, very foundationally, and also, in a sense, very subtly. Contemplating what will be in order that I might live rightly now. And understanding that living rightly now involves a life of virtue. There is struggle. There is difficulty. And indeed, again, contemplating this year of grace and favor and anticipating our Advent season, which is really just 2 weeks away now, what it is that God has done for us and with us, and what it is that we want God to do for and with us. How have you lived this last year of grace and favor? What have you done to give God fitting glory and praise? How have you squandered the grace of God? And what changes do you need to make so that going forward in this new year of grace and favor, you might be a better instrument of God's grace and a better receptor of that grace in your own life? Again, these are not rhetorical questions. They need to be asked in the context of prayer here in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, but also ask in the context of your own private prayer, especially leading to the first Sunday of Advent. So that as we begin a new year, and that is when our new year begins, you can begin rightly with the Lord, on the right foot, in the right direction, allowing God to use you in whatever manner He sees fit. Think about what will come for us. Because truly, when we contemplate heaven, our hearts should be filled with great joy, knowing that that is indeed what God wants for us. And those moments of sublime peace that we have had here on earth are multiplied a thousandfold beyond our imaginings in the glory of heaven. But in order to have that happen for us, as much as God wants that for us, we must begin now to live as we know we ought to live. But God gives abundant grace for the life of virtue. And so give thanks for what it is that God has done for you, but pledge anew, again, to cooperate with that grace, so that in the fullness of time, that which God has prepared for you, that place in His home that He has made for you, you may indeed find your dwelling there, and in so doing, find your lasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.